But anyway, we're going to talk about the biblical practice of church discipline, and we're going to one of the texts we're going to look at here tonight is Matthew 18. So keep your Bible open, but we're not going to start by reading the text. And you remember these nine things. And if you don't know any Spanish at all, but you've been, you could probably make out what those are. And so it's a sort of a Spanish lesson as well as it is a lesson in church government. Right? And what, again, the biblical practice of church discipline is one of the things that does mark a church that is healthy. And we tend to think of discipline as something that you do, you know, discipline in a military sense. You develop discipline by doing really unpleasant things, you know, sleeping in 30-degree weather in the rain without a tent. You know, that's good for discipline. Waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning and taking a freezing cold shower, followed by a 10-mile run through a leech-infested marsh, you know, ankle-deep water. That's discipline. Doing hundreds of push-ups. Discipline. Being screamed at, being humiliated, being made to scrub toilets with your toothbrush. That all comes under the, you know, the concept that we have of discipline in sort of a punitive military style. But discipline isn't always punitive. And it's not always a negative thing. It can be a positive thing. And not that negative or punitive discipline is a negative thing altogether, because it hopefully has a positive effect. But, again, okay, you did wrong, and now we're going to have to get the rod out. You're disciplining your child by correcting them with the rod. But the idea is to correct them, not just to take the, you know, just to listen to the rod wail so that you can take out your anger on them, but it is to change their behavior. But that's not, that's like the last level of discipline. And again, you know, you can correct the child with a look. My children, when they're little especially, most of the time we didn't have to say anything. Most of the time a look was sufficient. There are times when you had to say something, and when that didn't work, there are times you had to go to corporal discipline, and that didn't always mean spanking them till their cry changed. Sometimes it would just mean just a swat, you know, like, hey, wake up, you know, pay attention. But sometimes you had to really, you know, go all the way. But the fact that they would listen to you, or put it this way, they would listen to you, and sometimes all you had to do was give them a disapproving look, because they knew where things would end if they didn't get in line. And if they don't know things are going to end there, they're not going to get in line just because you gave them, you know, a very serious expression on your face. And so that's, you know, discipline takes in a lot of things. And there's a negative function or application of discipline, but there's positive things that go into discipline as well. And it's kind of like that word submission. You know, you use the word submission, and, you know, well, that's something that wrestlers do, right? You know, they get somebody in a submission hold, and they basically get them to do anything they want. And it has a bad connotation with it. And yet, when it's applied biblically, practiced biblically, it's not anything like what's associated with the word. So you can be thankful that we're not advocating anything like what we just talked about with regard to discipline. Church discipline is not a way for self-righteous people to pick the boats out of other people's eyes, okay? Tying that into this morning. That's not church discipline. Is a bunch of, you know, morality police or standard police or issue police looking around for little bitty things to pick on people about. It's certainly not about kicking people out of church, although sometimes, you know, that's sometimes where it ends. But that's not what it's about. It's not the pastor throwing his weight around and lording it over the flock. Oh, well, yeah, we know what that church discipline is. That's fear, force, and intimidation to get people to get in line and keep their big, fat, ugly mouths shut. And it's also not something that's not in the Bible. Again, you know, that question was asked once at pastor school, or Brother so-and-so, what about the church discipline? What about it? It's not in the Bible. That was the answer. And, well, again, either you practice it or it'll be practiced, one or the other, if you know what I mean. Eventually, the chickens do come home to roost. We're all in need of a certain amount of discipline. There's nobody who can just get through life without discipline. undisciplined people eventually wind up in prison. And there's plenty of discipline in there because they tell you when to get up and they tell you when to lie down and they tell you when you go to the bathroom and tell you what you can eat and all that. That's discipline. So there's no getting through life without it. And only a proud person thinks that they can get through life from to the end without some need for improvement. You know, I mean, today, and I don't think that I'm hard to get through to on this because I probably am one of my own worst critics. I'm very aware in the need for improvement all the time. I'm always looking at myself as somebody who could use improvement. And that doesn't mean I'm humble, but I think humility can be defined as being aware of the fact that you're not a finished product. You know, a proud person says, I'm there. I'm finished. You know, there's nothing left to be done. I made it. You know, just come to me and I'll tell you, or just follow my example and you'll get it right. And that's not humility. That's pride. And so we're all in need of improvement, which means how do we get from where we are to where we need to be? A certain amount of discipline. And we need sometimes inspiration to care. Sometimes we need healing to recover. Other times we need something more along the lines of what we would think of as corrective discipline or punitive discipline. Sometimes we need to be really broken, really come down on hard. But that's not always what we need. That's something that we need sometimes. Again, following the nine marks curriculum pretty closely, the question is, what are we talking about then? When we say church discipline, what do we mean? And I think it's a really good answer. It's everything a church does to help its members pursue holiness and battle sin, deal with sin, fight sin, whatever. But it is the church helping itself in terms of the membership of the church to make spiritual progress, to get somewhere, to grow in grace, to live a life more pleasing to God. Have a comfortable dependence upon and communion with God. Those things, that's what the church's discipline is involved. And so when you think about that objective, here's some things that you might not think of as church discipline. You didn't know it, probably, because I don't even think of it very often, unless I'm dealing with the subject, but we did church discipline this morning. You did too. I mean, we're doing it now. Because preaching the Word of God, preaching against sin in general, but especially when you name a sin, you know, like censoriousness, like judgmentalism, like just being a nitpicking bore that's always in somebody else's business, being a Barney Fife, you know, or what was his name? Remember, Gomer Pyle, you know, she had a sin in her ass, right? Okay, maybe I should have said Gomer Pyle instead of Barney Fife, but if you're gonna, you know, that's a sin, is to be all the time meddling in other people, and especially if in contrast to that you've got these glaring examples of the same thing in yourself. Okay, so that's what are we doing? We're trying to move away from that sin into holiness, aren't we? It's the interest is in the pursuit of holiness and the overcoming of or the leaving behind of or the battling against sin. So that was a disciplinary exercise this morning. And I would say almost every Sunday morning, it is the church actually carrying out church discipline to some extent. Just like when you teach your children how they're supposed to behave and how they're not supposed to behave. That's part of discipline. It's not always corrective. It's not always punitive. Sometimes it's instructive. So, teaching, prayer. I understand when we met yesterday at 10 o'clock and prayed, that was part of the discipline of the church. Why? Because one of the things we're doing is we're confessing sin in front of each other. And again, it's not like, okay, you know, you name all your sins, you know, and confess them to God in front of me so I know what they are. I don't recommend that, but again, to confess sins in a sort of a general way, you know, I mean, the list that you can find in the New Testament or any variety of lists, you know, but those things, you know, pride, lust, envy, discontentment, those kinds of things. You know, we can name those, and we're all guilty of all of them, right? Any breaking of the Ten Commandments, anything, idolatry, whatever, we can pretty much safely say, yeah, they're guilty of all those, and so is everybody else, including me. And so, you know, we're safe in that. But to say, yes, okay, the other night I called this person and said this, or the other night I was alone and I did, not that. That's not what we're talking about. But when we're praying that God would deliver us from sin and we're naming sins in a general way, that's a disciplinary exercise. Of course, worshiping together. Because, again, one of the things that I've learned to do and make sure I'm very careful to do. Every time we meet together on Sunday morning, maybe a service, but certainly that Sunday morning, you know, beginning of the week service, it's real important that there be a very deliberate and somewhat lengthy addressing of the issue of sin in prayer. And that's part of worship, you know, approaching God with due reverence and respect. And what I'm trying to do is set a good example in that, you know, Lord, forgive our sins is just kind of a perfunctory blowing past it that I don't think is adequate.